Stand by for lights and sound.
Grace, please, before smiting me, O Master,
lights
listen
and
to
sound.
My plea.
Go.
It was the night of the Halley festivals.
Stand by for lights and sound.
I prayed and played here alone, with innocence. Suddenly,
lights and sound.
I heard footsteps.
Go.
Slow and dolorous. A man donned in yellow, with a dark visage.
Stand by.
Who guided me to the altar.
Go.
He speaks to me, and I tremble while I listen to his voice.
Stand by.
I dare not look, then, without knowing if this vision is human
Go.
Or divine.
Go.
He disappears.
Go. For not being able to hear me, you sure are on point with these cues, you know!
When we last left the Ages of Arcel, they were exploring this land called Carcosa. There was an impromptu flash mob that provided a little bit of song and dance to the tense feeling that everyone is experiencing. They were able to get all costumed up because they're getting ready for their part in the play or the masquerade that's coming up. It seems as though that Thale and Vale weren't doing much, as they should have been. At least that's what Aldonis was inquiring. They're heading to the necropolis, and Aldonis is leading the way. The stonework here is a beautiful sandstone that has ivy crawling up it. The green is so vibrant. It actually extends to your other senses. The air smells green. The air on your tongue has a freshness to it, like a nice fresh spinach and basil salad. But the sounds, it's fairly quiet here. Just the footsteps of Aldonis leading the way. It leads through a narrow part alongside the mansion and opens up into a large stone field where there are sarcophagi and mausoleums all about. Aldonis looks back at you, gives a wave, as if to say, follow me, and he heads off in a circuitous route throughout this labyrinth, if you will, of mausoleums and sarcophagi that are above ground. There's an ominous feeling here, and as you travel a little bit more, you hear an odd clicking and clacking sound. It takes a few moments, and you realize it's the sound of an old-fashioned typewriter. Aldonis stops and motions toward a courtyard in front of a mausoleum, and you see a tall desk with a tall chair, and a man in a black suit with a large-brimmed black hat typing with one hand on a typewriter. Here's your director. I'm gonna be off. And I hope that I have enough wine for later. Maybe some snuff, too. It shall be a hell of a masquerade. Ta-ta. And he steps behind a mausoleum and seems to disappear, leaving you in this courtyard with this man on a high chair at a high desk with a typewriter.
Does this person look like Johann?
You've seen pictures of Johann in very similar dress.
Okay. I'm not going to approach directly. I'm going to kind of like take a circuitous route around so that I can see if he like registers movement or sound outside of what he's doing.
He does not, but you see hidden at the base of his chair, you see that there is a small slip of a person dressed in all black. Almost looks like they're wearing black socks and not shoes, and their hair is pulled back into a very severe ponytail. They have their hand reaching up and holding onto Johann's chair. Looks like they might be tugging on something occasionally.
Mr. Vik?
Shh! Don't talk to him! He's very busy! Comes from the small person on the floor. Their loud outburst causes you to jump back just a little bit. Caught you by surprise a tiny bit.
Such a big voice from a small person. I'm sure that was surprising.
My apologies. We've been looking for Mr. Veek. Is he available, or can we? When is a good time to see him?
The director is always busy. He's very busy. He's setting up blocking and plans and giving notes.
I also heard we could get a script from him.
Who do you think you are?
I'm Prince Thale, and this is my brother, Prince Vale.
I thought I was Thale.
Yeah, I'm Thale Vale.
Oh. They stand up, and you hear the sound of the typewriter return and the ding as it goes back, and a piece of paper falls to the ground on top of other scattered pieces of paper there as well. It should be down there. I would say count down 4 pages, and that would be good enough for your script.
Okay, I'll reach down and grab some pages.
Go ahead and give me an alertness roll there, Ross.
That is an odd 3.
As you bend down, you see that it looks as though there is wire coming out each of the knuckles of Johan's right hand. They reconnect at each knuckle and then dig into the hand, and you see that they do go to a pulley system at the wrist that disappear further up into his coat.
If I look up at the assistant, does it look like there's something leading to the assistant?
The assistant is actually pulling on some levers on his hip.
Gotcha. I will grab a few pages, try not to look at them too closely, and then head back looking for Ari.
I'm right next to you.
What do you think about these, Ari?
I mean, it doesn't look like the version I've read.
What is your position?
I'm a stage kitten.
A stage kitten?
Stagehand, yes.
Okay.
Oh, why kitten? I've never heard that, friend.
They put up their hands and licks the back of her hand.
Oh, actual cat.
Kinda.
Oh.
So are you like Gus?
No. I used to go pick up the dollars at the burlesque shows when they threw off all their clothes and tossed them into a bag. But all of a sudden I'm doing this now, and I have to listen to I have to take care of Johan. He's a very important man.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Veek. Not Johan. Mr. Veek. I'm sorry. And you see the head kind of move ever so slightly in the stagehand's direction.
Well, I was really hoping that I could talk to the director, get some sense of what is Prince Thale's motivation.
I don't know if you'll get much out of him, but you could see. Go ahead, step to where he could see you.
Mr. Veek?
A keen eye notices that the stagehand pulls on the lever, and the director's head lifts up. His eyes are sewn shut and his mouth is open. His skin is a pallid color of death, and a finger movement of the stagehand causes the lips to move. Well, more of his mouth than just the lips. You can see the wires inside pulling to open and close his mouth. Yes.
Captain Jack says hi.
You see the head kind of pick up and then loll sickly to its left, and his hat fall off. Along with it, some hair. And you see that he has a very large wound. Looks like someone has maybe bashed in his skull. It looks as though that his eyes are trying to open against the sewn shut skin. He begins to type furiously.
I want to look at what he's typing.
Seconded.
As you go closer, you see that he's writing Captain Jack, Captain Jack, Captain Jack.
What was on the pages that were on the ground, though?
Notes, as well as parts of the script. The 4th page down are the 4 lines, 2 lines each, 4th Princess Thale and Vale.
Yes. He responds again in a very gravelly voice.
Does it look like the stagehand is controlling his fingers as he's typing Captain Jack over and over, or is this entirely him?
The stagehand's hand are not moving, and you notice their eyes are looking up at them, very wide-eyed and somewhat bewildered.
What would you like us to do?
You're not in my version. Stand there. Look pretty. Don't take off your mask. Royalty and nobility will die. You are outside of it.
I look at Rowan and kind of shrug.
I'm watching the box control that the stagehand has. I want to look to see if I can see... I can see the wire leading up to Mr. Veek, but is it... Are they getting instructions from somewhere else? Is the box connected somewhere else? Do they have an earpiece?
You don't see that they have an earpiece on. It seems as though that they're simply pulling on the small box with levers. And I mean small little levers and switches that are attached to Johan's hip. But you do not see any other outside stimuli or influence.
So the stagehand is the one kind of running the show. That's interesting.
You have small parts, but then again, you are small egoed people.
Better that than to be a diva, I suppose.
Divas die first.
I'm sure they do. So, who dies first in your version?
Divas fly with wings.
And who survives?
No one.
Something tells me we don't want to be here when this happens.
Vision is wrong.
What vision?
Mine. Vision is wrong. Do not trust your eyes.
Is that why you had yours sewn shut?
Do you believe in dreams?
There are more things in heaven and earth. So sure.
They believe in dreams here.
What kind of dreams?
All of them.
Is that what holds them here?
Holds all of us here. And frees us. I am free.
Free from what?
Banal drivel. Creating art? No. This is home.
Captain Jack misses you. So does Morim.
The stagehand looks at you and takes their hand away from the little controller box and sits on their hands.
Giving them just like the longest, steadiest look, I'm going to reach for the box.
Their eyes track your hand to the box. You're able to touch it. It gives you the tiniest bit of a static shock.
Wince at that, and then I was watching them moving the levers. Can I work out which ones are for the mouth?
Give me an intelligence roll, please.
That is 59 out of 70.
You think you have an idea, and you pull on some of the switches and levers, and his mouth opens and closes with no sound. His left hand drops, and you see his jacket opens. The arm is hanging lifeless, and underneath you see a black dress shirt with a black tie. But below the chest, below the sternum, it's particularly darker fabric. It's a blacker black.
I'm a cop. Does this look like black that has been bled on?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to check him for a pulse.
Which hand are you going to check?
There's one that hits hanging down, I think.
No, I want to check the one that's wired up.
You reach over to him, and everyone notices that the stagehand is beginning to kind of shuffle away slowly. You put your fingers to his wrist, and his skin gives way as you press inside. It's a gross feeling, almost as though that you're pushing through moldy bread. But you feel the wires inside moving gently. No blood.
I'm going to keep an eye on the assistant to make sure they don't actually sneak away.
Reagan has not really been paying attention this entire time. I would say she is eyeing the crowd, eyeing everyone around them. So if the stagehand is moving away, she is fully at alert.
When the stagehand gets about 5 feet away, so not very far, they stand up and they push their back against the mausoleum and are kind of shifting, almost as though that they're trying to sneak away unseen, in clear view of you.
That's a terrible stealth check.
He's wearing black, we're supposed to ignore him.
You get a share look with Reagan.
No, Reagan is already going after, like, whoa there, buddy.
I'm being called. The stage manager is calling. We do not want to anger the stage manager. Do you know what that's like?
I do. Never mess with the stage manager. They're some of the most important people in theater, and we should give them more respect and pay.
You get paid?
Why don't I go with you?
But you're in costume.
I'll stay out of the way.
Okay. They grab your hand and melt into the wall, pulling you with them.
What?
I run after Reagan.
Where?
I try to go through the same way. I try to go through the wall if that's where it looks like they went.
Your hands hit the stone.
Fuck.
Well, that was interesting.
Now what?
Johann slides off the chair and lands in his own footprint. It seems as though that his legs are bent and twisted the wrong way. The arm with the wires sticking out is still stretched skyward. And its fingers are moving, but no typewriter to catch his thoughts.
So, he's hold dead? On.
Yes, I think so, but hold on. And I want to try to lift Mr. Veek up enough so that his hand can reach the typewriter, because I want to know what he's saying.
I'm going to need a strength check.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a 60 out of 50.
He slides out of your arms as his body just does not cooperate like a live human body would.
Or like a normal dead body.
You think you've dislocated his left shoulder.
Are his fingers still moving?
Yes.
All right, give me a hand.
Okay.
Grab the other side of the typewriter. Help me hold it so that he can reach it.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
I'm going to start gathering up the other papers on the ground.
I'm just looking at the wall, like trying to find a way through if I can.
You're pressing on the wall. Nothing seems to be working. It's solid. It's solid sandstone. You go around the outside and you see there's a mausoleum and there's a mausoleum door.
I'll try to open one of them.
It opens up. Inside, you see that there are stacks of bones of people placed here. It looks as though that there are hundreds of bones here.
Okay, and close the door and get back to the group.
You get his hand to touch the typewriter keyboard, and at first it's gibberish, and then it finds the home row. I wear no mask. 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 I wear no mask.
I'll wait for a couple of minutes to see if anything else comes out of the gibberish before looking at Arya nodding and starting to move the typewriter back to the desk.
He runs out of paper.
But keeps typing,
I wear no mask.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Because remember the whole thing about unmasking is the... Well, it's a big deal, so I guess that means that, yeah, keep these masks on.
I suppose so. Speaking of, anyone with a particularly sensitive stomach should probably look away at the moment.
Ari just spins in place and starts walking the other direction.
Sorry, I don't know if you noticed, Reagan disappeared.
I know.
Okay. Wait, what?
I'm going to grab Ross and turn him away and also look away.
Wait, disappeared?
She went into the wall. The stagehand grabbed her hand and they went.
Okay. Interesting.
Quite. I want to check one more thing here, and then we're going to try to figure out where the stage manager is, because that's apparently where she's gone. Baramaitza? And without waiting for an answer, Rowan is going to turn back to Mr. Veek and unbutton the part of his button-down shirt that is darker. She expects she's going to find blood. She wants to know what else is going on.
You see a cavity where his stomach should be, and it looks as though that all of his bones are wrapped in wire. There is a large slice mark on his ribs, on his right-hand side, between the bottom two ribs, almost as though that he was stabbed from a very broad weapon. Hmm. But there are no innards. There are no guts.
Not even wired guts?
Not even wired guts.
Interesting.
Looking down further, with his modesty, you see that his waist has been constructed almost like a wire harness around the pelvic bones, giving his pants structure to sit out. There is flesh there, but no innards.
Guessing what I'm likely to see, I'm going to like lean and look up into the chest cavity just to confirm that the heart and lungs are gone.
The heart and lungs are gone. Inside, you see a series of pulleys and levers and wires.
Interesting. And then gently close his clothing back up and then pull the wires out of the box.
You can't.
Okay. Tug on them a couple of times and then look.
You tug a last time and his right arm lands on his hat, and slowly it picks his hat up and places it on his face.
You know, Mr. Veek, affectations are masks too. Just saying. And Rome will get up and look around for like any water to wash her hands with.
There is none.
Of course not. Ball her hands up and shove them into her jacket pockets. All right. Let's go see if we can find the stage manager.
Wait, what about Reagan? You said that she went into a wall.
The stagehand was going to the stage manager.
That's where we'll find Reagan, in theory.
Okay, good. Let's go then. Okay.
So, how do you find a stage manager?
Well, you go backstage, or if it's rehearsal, you go on stage looking for the person yelling at the director.
Literally any smart actor should know where the stage manager is. Start asking around.
Now I'm wondering where backstage is.
That's an excellent question.
Reagan, you find yourself in the dark wings of a theater. At least you think it might be the wings, but it's dark here. And the only thing that you can really see are just the hands and the face of the stagehand in front of you. All right.
Are we moving?
Yeah, let's keep moving. All right, so we need to handle... Oh boy, there's a problem with this one. The costume issue. Are you good at costuming? Do you have any other skills other than looking? And they just shake their hand at you.
I'm pretty fast learner. Is there something you need?
You're in a ball gown.
Well, it's... She pulls her legs apart. It's secret pants.
Oh.
I'm versatile. I can move stuff. Do you need me to, like...
Does it have pockets?
Help with a scene change? Yeah, of course it's got pockets. Shoves her hand in, hoping there's pockets.
They're not the best pockets, but they're pockets nonetheless. And they're pockets large enough to fit a cell phone.
Ideal.
Oh, I wish I had pockets.
They didn't give you like a little belt or anything?
I have a belt, but I would like pockets in the pants. I mean, I have my burner belt. Come on.
Okay.
Gotta move. Double time.
Moving.
Shit. They're getting mad. Step around and you find that you're in front of a small set. And it looks as though that the set is a stable. Except the wood for the stable is covered in blood. A large-ish woman steps out. She has in her hand a very long machete-like sword, knife, dagger. Nah, it's bigger than a dagger. It's like a machete. And her eyes are wide. My vest is broken, and if I move the wrong way, then I'm gonna fall out, and we're gonna have a superb owl moment. And the stagehand runs over to them and reaches into their burner bag and starts to pull out what seems to be thread and needle. The large actress looks at you. Oh, you look pretty.
Thanks.
You're not normally in one of my scenes, though.
No, I'm new, so I'm still kind of trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go.
I don't think your role would be here. I'm the mule skinner.
Yeah, no, I was told there's like a party thing that I'm in.
Oh, okay.
Are
you good at lines?
No.
I am supposed to see you.
Oh, you are?
I am supposed to see you. Hang on. She reaches into the apron, and the stagehand is furiously at work. And she pulls out what looks to be a script that has been rolled up, but it also is covered in blood. Dried blood. There it is.
Reagan reluctantly takes it. Yeah, it's kind of like an old production of Oklahoma I once saw.
I never got to see Oklahoma. I only got to do The Foreigner. But look, on page four of mine, see where it says mermaid?
Mm-hmm.
Remember those lines there. Because the last person didn't remember their lines, and I had to skin them.
I see. Is that when they wouldn't happen to have been holding this script at the time?
No. They called for a line, but I tried to help them out, but they stumbled through and said something else, and the director demanded. They were very demanding, and the stranger was over my shoulder, and he was whispering to me, and so I took her mask, and the stagehand stops and pulls back. No. No, we don't carry that right now, do we? No. It's ready for the show. Good. And the stagehand looks at you and kind of jerks their head toward the stables.
Reagan's going to look at the stables, and despite this being an awkward moment, she's going to say, turn back to them. I'm sorry, did you say the stranger?
Yes. And she looks over her left shoulder. In the darkness, you see black on black moving, almost as though it's gliding away. Please, please remember those lines. I don't want to do that again.
All right, I'll be sure to memorize them.
Read the line.
I have no bones to be crushed. I have no skin to be burned.
Please don't forget. I don't want to have to do that again, ever again.
It's simple enough. I think I'll be able to handle it. I don't mean to make any trouble.
You hear a call. Stage front clear. Open on two. And that get repeated by others in the darkness. In front of you, downstage, you see a iris-like opening, very large, where the fabric is being pulled back, and you see ahead of you there is a theater, an empty theater. Looks as though that it might be Victorian in style. The seats are a crushed red velvet. They seem like they've seen their wear. The armrests in the back are painted gold, and then a yellow light illuminates the entire hall. The seats change from red to yellow. The stagehand comes over to you. All right, we need to get you off the stage because they're going to be rehearsing another scene.
Can I watch?
Sure.
Great.
This is for the entertainment, but it's not for the masquerade. So, I mean, have a seat.
Thank you.
You see a skinny man come out on stage being pushed by an unseen presence, and his arms are flailing and he's looking around. Your eyes adjust a little bit, and you see that people dressed all in black are pushing him out. He's dressed as though he's Roman nobility. And the stagehand motions for you to have a seat right next to the pit. From offstage, Antigonus, act! And you hear the roar of a very large animal. From stage right bounds a very large brown bear. One paw catches Antigonus in the chest, spinning him around, casting blood upstage. His eyes are wide as the brown bear then begins to feast on his innards, starting with his belly. Please give me a sanity roll as you're watching a live man being eaten by a bear.
That is a 41 on 84.
Okay. Surprisingly, you're okay with this. Well, at least it doesn't shake you to the core. You do suffer 1 point of sanity loss, as this is disturbing. The growls of the bear get louder and louder. Its face turns and looks at the audience. Its maw is dripping with blood. It seems as though snow is beginning to fall on the stage and the iris closes, closing off your view of the scene. The stagehand appears at your side again. Whew. All right. Ah, that's going to be fun getting that cleaned up.
Curious.
No, that was Antigonus, not Curious. Curious is the one that kills the feline and things don't go well for them.
I'm curious who that was a rehearsal for.
Oh.
One or both?
Technically one.
All right.
We've got understudies for that role, a lot of them. There's a list.
I have no doubt.
It's highly sought after.
Is it?
Yes.
Fascinating.
We're gonna have to clear you out of here though. But you, that's a really pretty ball gown. I hope that nothing bad happens to it.
Oh, I'm sure the worst. If the worst happens, the costumer will be more furious than anything that's gonna happen on stage.
Yeah, I know. Look at that. Look at that scale work. That's gorgeous. All right, I gotta go. And they make a motion with their hands, and you turn and look just a brief moment, look away, and when you return, they're gone.
Does Reagan see any doors that might have been exits clear by, or are the only exits like up at the top of the house?
At the top of the house, yeah.
All right, well, she's going to take that as her cue to go ahead and exit the house. I would like her, like, generally speaking, she's just kind of taking note of what the theater looks like, where the exits are, and as best she can, since it was so pitch black backstage, I don't know that she probably got a great layout of backstage, but she would be doing her best to kind of note the whole layout of the theater.
It seems as though that it was obscured at worst and labyrinthine at best. You really didn't catch much of backstage. Between the black curtains that were up and some of the other shade curtains that were there, you don't recall. To exit the top of the house, you do see that there are three doors at the end of the aisleways. When you step to one, you see a man dressed in tails, and he opens the door for you and nods. He also has a white mask on.
Is this reminiscent of the same white masks we saw previously when we first went to the comedy show?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Excellent. I love your mask.
And they nod their head.
She gives him a little nod back and goes through the door.
It looks as though that it's a lobby. The lobby is very similar. You've been here before. This is the lobby to the comedy house.
Great. Love that. Hate that. Is there anybody else in the lobby?
No, but you do see the bars on both sides and the stairs that lead up off the wings.
Is there natural light or anything coming in windows so I can tell what time of day it is outside?
The windows, as before, are painted over black.
Okay.
And the door is closed.
The door to outside?
Yes.
Oh my god. Now I gotta remember the layout of this building. Jesus. Okay. So this was just a normal door. This wasn't the elevator, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then, one, is she still in her same outfit?
Yes.
Great. Then, two, she is going to go ahead and go to the doors and see if they are unlocked. Can she get out?
So you head to the door, and the outside door, that is, and the door itself is locked, but you on the inside do have the opportunity to unlock it with that little nub on the door.
If no one else is around and she thinks she can take a peek outside, she's going to unlock it and edge the door open a little bit.
The sunlight breaks through the opening of the door. The smell of downtown San Francisco assaults your senses. The smell of the unhoused and homeless folks that have used the wall as a urinal is pretty strong here. As you do see that, yes, it is downtown San Francisco.
She reaches a hand out. Does anything change with her clothing?
No.
Okay. She is going to pop back inside and lock the door. And she's going to attempt to call the gang. She's going to try and specifically call Rowan.
Rowan, your phone rings.
I'll pull it out of my pocket and look at it. It's Reagan. Slide the green and put it on speaker. Reagan, where are you at?
San Francisco.
Come again?
They brought me through to the theater backstage. I don't know. It was pitch black, so I'm not entirely sure how to get in or how to get out and around. But I'm back in the same theater that we were at. And I'm looking outside. The door is leading to normal land.
I hate that. Okay.
I mean, it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Can you get back backstage? Can you get back to where we are?
Well, they cleared me out. I watched a really unfortunate rehearsal, and I don't think I can navigate backstage without assistance. It's pitch black and quite the maze.
What time of day is it in San Francisco?
It's daylight. Does her phone say?
Yeah, 2:15.
Well, it is. It's about 2:15 over here.
I'm going to immediately, like, pull down the little menu to see what time it is here.
8 a.m.
Interesting. It's 8 a.m. here, so there's about a six-hour time difference at the moment. Who knows?
Yeah, I haven't, like, been missing for hours or anything, according to you guys, right?
You've been gone for 5 minutes, maybe.
Okay, great. Same here.
Good old Fairyland rules.
Yeah.
You know you walked into a wall, right?
I did notice that. I also saw a dude get eaten by a bear, so watch out, there's a bear. I assume it's following directions, though.
What scene were they rehearsing?
You know how you're supposed to exit pursued by a bear?
Oh, that scene.
Yeah, somebody lost the pursuit.
Oh, Antigonus.
Yeah, Antigonus is Antigone.
No, Antigone is a different show.
Nope, emphasis was intentional.
That was a terrible pun, Reg, and you should be mildly ashamed of yourself.
I am.
Good. Oh, no. If you can find any way to get backstage and get back, otherwise you're going to have to wait for the middle of the night to try to get back into the mausoleum to get in the doorway that we know. Otherwise, you might be out of this mission, Agent Reagan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, seems tragic. I was unfortunately given lines, and one of the stagehands is definitely not going to have a good time. Well, if I'm not there, they probably can't get me. But anyway, I will attempt to find my way back through. There's got to be another door.
And if you're able to find somewhere to hang until that scene comes up, maybe then they'll shuffle you off stage into a backstage area.
Yeah. The stranger's here.
I'll look at Ari.
Keep your mask on, whatever you do.
No qualms about that. But the stranger seemed to be given some sort of direction to some of the other actors. Some pretty brutal directions if people fail to do their jobs. So, in addition to keeping your mask on, be sure you don't flub something that you were directed to do.
What was the stranger wearing? Was the stranger wearing a mask?
They were turned away from me, so I can't be sure.
So that's one of the things, is the stranger doesn't, and no mask. And that's the part when other people want to take their masks off or unmask themselves in some way. So whatever you do, no matter what happens with the stranger around, don't take off your mask.
Excuse me, are you talking to Perdita?
Who is this person talking to?
It's a voice that you hear through the phone.
No, I mean, who, like, knows?
Is it on Reagan's end or on our end? Is it someone talking to us or someone talking to Reagan?
It's just on the phone.
Oh,
it's on the phone.
Both of us hear it on the phone.
Yes.
I don't think so. Hi, who is this?
This is Paulina.
No, we're not currently talking to Perdita, I don't think. How are you talking on this line?
How are you talking on the... I don't understand. I'm looking for my husband.
I look at Ari.
Look on stage left.
Okay. Oh, Lord! Hang on. Camilla! Yes, darling? Antigonus has been eaten. Oh, no. Somehow we've entered into a party chat. Well, I will be careful for what to say. Who else is on the line?
Hi, I'm Nat. Don't really have a character name.
Hello, Nat. Are you a Nat? Are you cast as one of those annoying little flies?
No, but I certainly can be that sort of character.
We're here for the masquerade.
Aren't we all? The monarch wishes us to have the masquerade.
Can you give us directions?
Oh, yes. Just go to the theater and open the door and enter in. It is simple as that. Or have your footmen bring you. I don't think they have footmen, Camilla.
I will look around and yell, I need a footman.
There's no response.
Who else was that? Who was that on the line? That sounded like a young man's voice.
Oh, that was Thale. This is Vale.
Oh, I am so happy to hear your voices.
Ari's gonna whisper into Ross's ear. That's Camilla. Remember what I said about her and her brothers?
Were her brothers? I whisper back.
Maybe. Depends on the version.
Let's maybe wait until we're not on the party line.
That's why I'm whispering this, to try and get him to chill.
How good's your whisper?
His stage whisper is horrible. You need to work on that, friend. But that is okay. I look forward to seeing my... yes, I look forward to seeing them.
Well, that's nice.
Paulina, I'm sorry to hear about your husband. Don't worry, we have understudies.
And you hear Paulina sniffle.
Reagan, can you still hear us?
Yep.
Cool. If you can make it in that general direction, we'll meet you there.
I will do my best.
Good luck. Be careful. I'm Tiana Hansen, and I play Rowan.
I'm Seth Jones, and I play River.
I'm Joseph Newman, and I play Ross.
I'm Christy Bauer, and I play Reagan.
I'm Ben Soslowski, and I play Ari.
I'm Dan Voshkevich, the Handler. Our story is based upon the role-playing game Delta Green by Arc Dream Publishing. Delta Green is created by Dennis Detweiler, Adam Scott Glancy, and John Scott Tynes. Season 7 is an adaptation written by me, Dan Voshkevich, based on the fragments of the King chapters written by John Wick, Toby Abad, Fabian Badia, Ben Warner, and Rob Justice. Our intros this season were written by Alondra Heilman and performed by Grant Corvin, with additional voices by John Wick, Fabian Badia, and Ben Warner. If you like our story, there are a few ways you can support us. First, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/theredactedreports. Patrons of our podcast will receive early access to episode, Rowan's written reports for each story, as well as other goodies and opportunities exclusive to our patrons. We offer special thanks to our $20 and up patrons, Stephen Schwartz, Danny, Tom Padula, Kit Thompson,
Lady Bedivere,
Heather Ney, Jen Obertaz, Bomb Clancy, Naya Fenris, Shrek Manning, Red Dead Coquette, Ginger Fury, Dr. Christian Lehman, Devils, Robbie Nowell, J. Matthews 85, Flynn Gallagher, Phoenix Team Handler Dennis, Knitting Daddy Greg, Multicam Yeti, Scott Miller, Rogue, Jacqueline Parrish, and Monsieur Quack. If you can't support us directly, that's okay. Please support us by telling people about us. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on all the usual social media sites. Also, check out our website, www.theredactedreportspodcast.com. All of our handouts are archived there, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach out to Agent Harker through the contact form there. The Redacted Reports is edited and produced by Tiana Wren Hansen and is distributed by Quests and Chaos. If you like what you hear with us, give Quests and Chaos YouTube channel a visit. They play Dungeons & Dragons and Call of Cthulhu on a weekly basis and have a bunch of content archived on their YouTube channel. Additional undercurrent music, Rowan Rising, was composed and orchestrated by Alan Strickland, A-L-L-E-N. You can find him at alanstrickland.net for his classical compositions. Join us next week. In the sins of the father, retribution comes due. Beryl Spall dwindle to anxious supply, and we face a threat with such a human goal we cannot succumb, lest it gluttonizes us from within and without.